The following interview is with Dr. Abraham Nassetir. Today is November 18th, 1981. This is the fourth session, and it is being held at the Malcolm Love Library in the San Diego History Research Center on the campus of San Diego State University. The interviewer is Alexandra Liberski, graduate student representing the University Archives here on campus at the Research Center. Yeah, I had an introduction before you got here. I read that off.
All right.
So we're going to start around 1950.
This is in 50 and 51 while I was in Paris, and where I found out about the archives of the police and the police department, and went over there and hired it, which you can see in the little article there of how I got in charge with it. Incidentally, I had to hire a photographer to do that, and the prefecture of police archivist was very, very kind to me, gave every permission necessary, and even begged me to have a copy so that he could have it, which I promised him. My photographer microfilmed the major part, not all, but the major part. I took some notes on some, and this is deposited now in the Bancroft Library in Berkeley. Incidentally, when I shipped off the first batch, the Bancroft Library said that it was not up to real standards, and so I called attention to my photographer, who was proud of his professionalism. He did the entire thing over, altogether over, and sent it again in. Made a new microfilm from the beginning.
Did it get a better review at that point?
Oh, yes, he got a better type of it. He hadn't exposed so much light, and it was very difficult because he had no permanent place nor really facilities that he had to bring with him during the time that he had. Incidentally, too, they told me in Berkeley that they could reproduce it from the negative at a cheaper price than he was charging them for the second thing. Hence, we stopped that. And when the entire thing reached Berkeley and they made a copy, a positive to send back, they carefully sent it back to me. And what occurred was that the customs of France wanted to charge me, I've forgotten the precise number, but enough fantastic sum, something like $500. And I tried my best and argued with him that this was for France and not for me of any kind. Finally, after three visits to them and also outside aid, it was put through, and when I was delivered to the archives, and they thanked us very much for it. I believe I've already mentioned the fact that we got the majority of the materials that I wanted in France all copied, signed, sealed, delivered, both in the Library of Congress and in the Bancroft Library. I myself then went on to Spain which I believe I've forgotten to tell the real truth. No, excuse me. This is in 1950 and 51, and I had sworn that I would never go to Spain as long as Franco was there.
That's right.
And I refused to go, although my wife wanted to go, as she had never visited Spain. We stayed the whole year. Mrs. Nassetir went back home about a month before I did. And we came back in 1951. It was then that we... Oh, I had another experience in France at that time, which I believe I did not mention before, namely that by this time, one of my major objectives, my documentary history of before Lewis and Clark expedition, had been revised and accepted for publication by a group established in St. Louis for that purpose. It was a group of interested men who had money and were interested in the history of St. Louis and the Missouri. And here I came along and offered them this documentary history. They formed the St. Louis Historical Documents Association, and I came over and visited them before I left for France, and they had accepted my work after asking for some selective changes in it, which I did. This was put into a two-volume work, and the galleys were sent to me while I was in Paris. And then, too, I had trouble, because Professor McDermott, who was in charge of this project for Edson in St. Louis, in there, had placed an insurance value on the galleys of some $1,500. The French customs wanted me to pay on the tax on that. Very fortunately, the owner of my hotel, who understood the proposition, went to bat for me. And finally, after weeks of argument there, we got it through with a simple delivery charge and nothing else added to it. This is one of the unusual things. Here in Paris, I had to read galley with nothing in the way except a French dictionary. That's a very difficult thing, and it's not easy to check small things in the Bibliothèque Nationale or anything of the kind. They have materials, but it's a little bit difficult to do it. For a while, I found it to my advantage, time-wise, to go over to the Bibliothèque Sainte-Geneviève, which was open on several evenings, and had a few things that I could use. But I've always had that difficulty of having to read proof while I'm out of the country, which is always a very bad situation, since what's necessary are the documentary and books and notes that I have, which of course were in San Diego.
Were they just so anxious to get it published?
Oh yes, and it took quite some time to get through. Yes, it was that book, by the way, which began to really give me high stature among both scholars, historians, and anthropologists as well. I believe that this year in Paris was one of my most successful ones in bringing up together not only the materials that I had been interested in and had published on the French in California, but also on the early beginnings of the French in Louisiana, which I made notations of, both of which are in my collection today, still unused and unpublished. Back in the United States and back at work, I was busy now with my workings on trying to get publications.
Could I ask you one quick question? What did you only tour Spain? Remember you said
when?
That
Never went to Spain.
You never, Edie didn't
never
talk?
Never went to Spain. The only, what we did during that year that I may not have mentioned were two vacations. At the Christmas holiday, we went down to Nice and went down to along the Mediterranean coast, where I contracted pneumonia and came back to Paris with pneumonia, which scared Mrs. Nasseter to the extent that she went to the American Embassy and got the American Embassy doctor to take care of me in my house, which was an unusual thing, and I was not entitled to it, but he got me well. And there were other incidents of that nature that we had in Paris, but I was very grateful to that physician whose name I've forgotten. The other time that we left Paris was a month in the Eastern time, when we went on our first trip to Israel, which had just been created, and we spent our Passover holiday in there. I took two advantages of that. First of all, I sent Mrs. Nasseter by train and by boat to pave the way in Israel, which had just been created.
That was very brave of you.
Very brave, but she wanted to. While I went first to Switzerland, which I'd never been before, and visited in Geneva, and then went across by their marvelous railway system, across through Bern to Zurich. This was my first time in Switzerland, and I spent nearly a week in Switzerland, not for study purposes as much as for making acquaintances, as I did in Geneva and at Lucerne. From Zurich, I flew to Rome, and this was my first visit to Rome.
Could you still tell the effects of World War II there? Was it
where?
If throughout Europe, the places that you'd been?
No, not then. In the earlier days, we could. We saw some places, but in Switzerland was not hit.
Oh yeah, I know.
Not
that.
Hit. Rome was not hit. And what
Paris?
We saw, Paris was not hit. But outside of Paris, there were quite a number of them. We visited the fields.
Yeah.
Oh, we did more than that. We spent several days traveling in Normandy, and went along the beaches where we were looking also for the gravesite of a friend of ours in San Diego, buried in, who was killed in the Normandy invasion.
Oh, wow.
I had another very important aid, which I'm afraid I forgot to mention. My former student, who had been a history major and who was interested in the and become entering the diplomatic service, and who had gone to war and had been with Patton's army in France, married a French girl, a very intelligent French girl, and came back to finish his work at the college to enter the diplomatic service. He was with me and took his degree with me in one of his senior thesis, which was an excellent one. And his wife also aided me in the translations of French a great deal. And so did he. But he, by now, in 1950 and 51, had gone back and was working in Paris, not in the diplomatic service at that time, but for the Fodor, I think it was the Fodor travel guidebooks, I think. And he knew Paris. Of course, his in-laws were in Paris and knew French well. He was a tremendous service. And it was he and his wife that took their automobile, and we toured Normandy with him as well. He helped me on many occasions.
What's his name?
It'll come to me. His father was in the school system of San Diego for many, many, many years. And I've known him and knew him for many, many years. I've seen him several times. He later, by the way, was in the United States diplomatic service, mm-hmm. and served out his retired today. But I should mention him because he is very important. And if I forget, I'll try to recall his name because I have his senior thesis in my library at home. His thesis was based on some of the materials that I had, and I should remember him because that at the present time we are working on a revision of a manuscript which involves his work during the time. But in the 1950s, back at school, with the enormous increase in the college population, and with the increase in our faculty, it put a good deal of strain, but on some of us. But as I have always been, and thought of myself as a teacher first, a researcher second, and one who never thought at any time that you could be one without the other. And although I took on added duties time and time again in teaching, I found time and sought to it to continue my research work at all events. Incidentally, that two-volume work on Before Lewis and Clark appeared in print just at the time, and I put the first copies that I received of it on the desk of President Love just as he became president and took over the office from Heppner in 1952. In the 50s, when we got such tremendous increases in our faculties, we incidentally were able to acquire several noted scholars, and for the first time I was having company in research work by some of the new faculty members in several of the departments, most of them having been raised and taught before at universities, knew the value and the importance of research, and began to keep up some of the research with very important results in my mind to San Diego. President Love, who came to us from the university, had a different outlook than President Heppner, and hence it was not a question of not having any support. We did have some support, and by the beginning of his term we had most of the attributes of a state university, although we were limited to the fifth year and were granted the MA degrees a little later on in the 50s. It was during this time that I was able to have farmed out to new additions to our faculty my courses in English history and the Westward Movement, and became more specialized on Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, it required a great deal of work in building up our libraries in our fields, which we did. And very fortunately, a few of the years in the 50s were bonanza years, both for appropriations and for increasing of library facilities.
Where was the old library was still being used, right? I don't know what year this library was built.
Oh, no, this is in the late 60s here.
This one. Yeah.
Oh, this one. What we did first was we had the old library where the tower is, then we added on an addition and of the big building from clear over to almost the SS building.
Mm-hmm.
That was then. No, it was much later that mm-hmm. this building was put up.
It does surprise me when I come to use the library here. Many of the books now that we have on California, Latin America, in other libraries you can't check them out. They're only reserved books, and here you can actually use them and check them out, which is kind of neat.
Well, we have always had a policy here of OpenStax. It's caused us a lot of trouble and a lot of losses.
Yeah, I could imagine.
To me, as a personal problem, that was one of the biggest fights, but I didn't press this fight with the librarians because I have a kind outlook for them and know the problems. Particularly, and the problems that we had were that we bought one copy. And one copy would sometimes be put in religion and sometimes in economics and sometimes in government, whereas in history, and they're following the Library of Congress first issue, and so we have to go with it, which makes it hard for us in keeping up and going to the stacks and the use of open stacks.
Yeah.
What has happened since, however, has been what I've always asked for, was to have a rare book room, which we now have. And also, the other problem is that we have a lot of sets which are not analyzed, and that makes it hard for us.
Yeah.
For example, just the other day, right here in the library, I was talking with one of the librarians of the University of California Publications in History, of which we have almost a complete set. But it isn't analyzed at all. It just simply gives you the volume and the publications in history. But who remembers it that way? I remember them as author and
right.
title. And when the students used to come back to me and say, we haven't got it, I said, what, I bought it a long time ago, and go over and I found it, but it's not a convenient thing. But they never had the staff to do it, but it's required. And I have a very soft spot for the librarians in those two instances. But the one time when I fought with them and did no good was that when a volume was lost, they would simply never mention it. They would pull a card. And that didn't notify us that it was lost. And we lost several volumes that went out of print, and we could have had them
if
we'd known earlier, or would look for them in the second-hand catalog.
Sure.
Oh, yes, that was one of the big problems that we had. Oh, incidentally, I, too, was partly guilty of that. I used to walk out unwittingly and forget to check out books. But I had a different problem altogether. Every year, I used to go to the librarian, Mr. Stone, and he would send one of his assistants to me, first at home, my home, and secondly, in my office. And we would check over everyone to see whether the books that belonged to the library were here or not. We always found two or three that I had never signed up for. And it wasn't a question of stealing or anything, it was just walking out.
Right.
In fact, I asked them and begged them to stop me and not have any fear of it, because they're not embarrassing me I just simply forget and walk right out.
You know,
now it's changed.
Yes, you won't have that problem now.
No, the two major problems that we had, as I see it now, was one, there was mutilation of books, and especially mutilation of magazines, where they would cut out magazines and other things, I mean articles and things like that, which we could not do anything about. We have a better check on it now through the electronics processes that we, and Xerox, because we didn't have any Xerox.
That's right.
Xerox is the thing that's stopping the cutting of the pages and so on down the line. Oh yes, these are problems that are problems in any university, there's no question about it. And we have to face them. We did face them. And don't forget, the 50s was quite a years of
changes.
Changes. And oh, there were prosperous years and increasing student bodies there, which created lots of problems, both on campus and otherwise. And we were always followers of larger universities here on this campus at all times.
Now, in your becoming more specialized in these, in the Latin American courses, this was sort of leading you up to your experience. You would then go on to publish the book on Latin America?
Yeah, that comes a little bit, the textbook comes a little bit later. Mm-hmm. I was still working in the 50s and the 60s in my own field.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with that, I could jump ahead about that though. What happened was that I myself had never been interested in writing a textbook. I can't tell you why, I don't know. I believe it was because I wanted in my early, younger days to write a textbook for History 8, for History 8A, my general course, and for which I was most noted on the campus. But I would never do it as long as Bolton was alive, because he was always signed up to write or to translate a two-volume work, which he never did. And in fact, when I once, not facetiously, but I told Dr. Bolton at one final examination, that time when I was a teaching fellow, that if I were in charge, I would do it this. And he says, Nassiter, he says, when you get out in the field and you can do as you want, but here you do as I ask you to do, which is the perfectly proper thing to do. But I never did. I never did do that at any time, and I gave up the idea. As a matter of fact, I hated always to use textbooks or to depend on it. As a matter of cold fact, for many, many years, I had to serve as the textbook in lecturing, and fill in with outside readings and things of that nature, collateral readings, which is my way. I was approached several times by people, but somehow or another I always turned them down. But I was once sent by the major publishing company's agent, whom I knew very well. He came to me and begged me to see what I could do with a manuscript that of some work of a teacher of history at East Los Angeles College, Dr. Helen Baker, Bailey Miller. And I looked over to it and saw what an excellent writer she was, and that's exactly the way it was put to me by the publishers. But they wanted some scholar in the field and teacher in the field to substantiate and work out with her. I finally agreed and said I would try. Helen Bailey is an unusual species of womanhood. She's an unusually gifted teacher. She was, by the way, a Berkeley and Bolton person who took her teacher's credential and her M.A. At Berkeley, although she's a farmer girl from Fresno, from the San Joaquin Valley.